Cecilia was sure Harris would graduate into a hunt soon, and perhaps into the greens in a week or so, but for now, all she wanted to think about was the hunt and the riding. If it wasn't opening day, with its farcical reproductions of ancient ceremonies via Surtees and Kipling, it was a hunting dawn. Cecilia put her head out the window and breathed deeply. Yes, cool enough, crisp and dry, and she would have a new mount today, a Buccinator Sun. Sometimes the gods rewarded you for virtues unknown. Bunny's staff served impeccable, lavish hunt breakfasts, and she enjoyed food. But today she hardly noticed either the traditional dishes or the taste. The green hunt, composed of the most experienced and best riders, talked little at breakfast this early in the season. Later, perhaps. Now they all wanted but one thing: the horses, the cold air, the speed, the chase. They recognized this in each other. Glance met glance over the clattering silverware. Outside, with the low sun gilding the stones, Cecilia walked down to the stable block as happy as she had felt since leaving competition. This is what life was about: a hot breakfast, comfortable in one's stomach, and the prospect of a good horse to ride over open country until the day ended. In her saddlebag was her personal choice for a lunch snack. On this, Bunny made no attempt to enforce the more foolish tradition. If you wanted a therm pack of shrimp and sweet sauce, you could have it. Cecilia favored a hot turkey sandwich, pickles and cheese, and hot coffee. Buccinator's son, powerful and alert, stood waiting, held by a groom. She mounted, picked up her reins, nodded to the groom, and set off at a walk to quarter the yard. Then out the great stone arch to the front of the main house, where Bunny and the huntsman would have brought the pack by now. She came around the side of the house. There in the sunlight were the hounds, sterns wagging as they swirled in controlled chaos around the hunt staff in scarlet. Bunny grinned as she rode up to him.
You like him, do you?
You stinker. You might have let me see him last year.
He wasn't ready. But you're first to take him into the field. He's been schooled, but never hunted.
You are most generous.
And he was. To let a guest take a green horse into the field, with the green hunt over the most demanding country, she was not sure she would have done it, had it been her horse and her country.
He couldn't be in better hands. One concession, we're going to start with the long tor foxes today.
That meant less woods riding, more in the open, but the fences were stone walls, unforgiving of mistakes, and in the open they'd be riding faster.
Sounds like fun.
Other riders came up then, paying their respects to the master, and she circled away. The long tor foxes cooperated by leading a long, circuitous chase across the open slopes, in and out of difficult ravines, back up and around almost to their beginning. The Buccinator son proved himself, maturing at every wall and ditch, the scope and speed of Buccinator bloodlines keeping him out of trouble and well up. Cecilia didn't push him. There was no reason to race. Everyone knew how she could ride, and everyone knew the horse was green. Far more important to give him a good day's work and the confidence to go on another time. They rode back in a golden afternoon, the young horse still with power to spare, and Neil gave her a thumbs up when she came through the arch.
Cool and quiet, and not a mark on him. And you're happy with him?
He's all you promised. Never shirked, never tried to turn away from anything. He'd have gone faster if I'd asked. Actually, I had to hold him back at first.
Good. That's what I hoped for. He should be ready day after tomorrow. You can have old gossip tomorrow if you want.
Give him 2 days off. It's his first season. Flat work tomorrow, and the day after, I'll come do a little schooling on him when I get back from the hunt.
You think you'll have the energy?
Cecilia gave him a mock glare. He was always trying to suggest she was too old, but they both knew it was a joke.
I could school 3 horses now, as you well know. Shall I prove it?
No. Just give Gossip a run tomorrow. I let Cal have him for opening day, and he bucked over the first 10 fences, Cal said. Your friend Captain Serrano's doing well. I'm going to put her in the blues for her first run.
Cecilia came back to the house thoroughly satisfied.
Now if only Harris and young Ronnie would realize how much fun this is.
Harris had spent several hours riding to Neil's exacting standard, on the flat and over the fences of the outside course. His announcement that she would ride in the blues was, she knew, a reward, though she would just as soon have had something more tangible and immediate. She came back to the house stiff, but not really sore, ready for a hot bath, but the house itself fascinated her. The big stone building was huge, an institution rather than a dwelling place. It had four levels above ground and one below, and an astounding number of rooms, corridors, staircases, arches, ramps, lifts, balconies, and other architectural bits for which Harris had no name. On the ground floor were rooms devoted to reading, sitting, talking, dancing, dining, lunching, breakfasting, and playing games of chance or billiards. High ceilings and large rooms made Harris think of an overdecorated flight deck on her cruiser. Most of the guest rooms were on the second floor, along with another library and a withdrawing room for women, which overlooked a rose garden. The third floor had both guest rooms and family suites, while the fourth was, traditionally, the servants' quarters. Harris had a bedroom the size of her entire suite on the yacht, with a bathroom almost as large as the bedroom. Two windows opened to the east, with a view across a lower roof to scattered buildings on green fields beyond. A white vase filled with fragrant roses stood on the black polished bureau. A desk comp stood beside it. The bathroom amazed her even more. It had every luxury fixture she'd heard of, and two she hadn't. She eyed the nozzles with suspicion and left them alone. She bathed, relaxed for a time in swirling hot water, and dried her hair, half amused at herself for taking so long. It was a very unmilitary situation. The same dress she had worn that first night at Tacoman Rhodes would do, Cecilia had said, for dinner. She added a simple but elegant silver necklace, then made her way through the maze of corridors to the main stair and descended its graceful curves. She felt as shy as she had the first night on a new ship, coming to the wardroom. Cecilia waited at the foot of the stairs, her short hair lifted into a graceful wave of silver and auburn. She wore the amber necklace Harris had admired, and a long beaded tunic in bronze and ochre over a flowing copper-colored skirt. It was hard to believe she was an old woman and had spent all day on a horse. She smiled.
I thought you might like a few introductions.
Thank you.
Harris had tried to form no expectations, but she was surprised. All the men in traditional black and white, all the women in long gowns, looked more like athletes than wealthy layabouts. Yet the surroundings and the clothes and the jewelry were straight out of caricature. She managed not to stare as a dark-haired beauty undulated by in a bundle of silvery silk, its folds seemingly held to her by affection alone.
That's the Contessa. That's what she likes to be called, rather. It's all a sort of game, being a character out of history, or rather out of a story about history. They've read all the fiction of the period, and they take parts. Not formally, in the evenings, but one is expected to recognize a good version of a familiar character.
Books, like the Surtees and Kipling you loaned me?
That's a beginning. You'll have to look into Bunny's library. Come along. You need to meet him.
Harris tried to suppress her curiosity in the presence of her host, Lord Thornbuckle. Was he, too, taking a character to portray? Was that long, foolish face his by nature or by design? He murmured a greeting to her, a longer and warmer one to Lady Cecilia, along with his regrets that she had not made the opening day.
We had some delays.
So I understand from the children. How nice of you to have brought them along. Sorry, let's talk after dinner.
He turned to greet someone else with a faint shrug that made clear to Harris he'd rather talk to Cecilia.
And you must meet Miranda, his wife, Buttons and Bubbles' mother, though it's hard to believe. She takes rejuve like kittens take cream.
And, in fact, Harris would not have suspected the sweet-faced blonde to be old enough to have children Bubbles' age, let alone older ones. Miranda murmured polite nothings to them and introduced them to Colonel Barksley, who eyed Harris warily before wandering off to get something to drink, or so he said. Harris suspected he would go straight to a comp and start looking her up in some index of officers somewhere. She wished him luck. Harris had never been fond of the pre-dinner social hour anyway, and this one seemed to last forever. She felt out of place in these tall, cold rooms with their consciously ancient decorations, surrounded by people whose gowns had cost more than her fleet salary.
Dinner is served.
A flurry of movement. She found herself provided with a dinner partner and felt fortunate to have read the Kipling, and soon sat at the long, polished table beneath the pseudo-baronial banners. Her partner, it seemed, was one of Bunny's distant cousins and desperately keen to hunt. Harris had no trouble with the conversation. The cousin wanted only a listener for his tale of the opening day hunt, today's hunt, the performance of his horse, the beauty of the weather, the cunning of the fox, and the inept handling of the hounds by the new huntsman. The food that came and went through all this was ample and hearty, not nearly as elegant as the meals Cecilia had served her, but more filling. Harris wondered if Bunny's household adhered to the custom of women leaving the table early, or to the more modern format where the heavy drinkers dispersed to one room and those preferring stimulants to another. The latter, she found. She went into the coffee room with some relief, for the long-winded cousin had chosen to drown his bruises in brandy.
You're ex-military, aren't you?
The colonel she'd been introduced to earlier was at her elbow.
You deserve a medal for endurance. Lawrence Boniface has rarely had such a patient listener. Most of the ladies gather their conversational reins at the beginning and try to make a race of it.
The food was too good.
And I thought it was recognition of a hopeless cause. Tell me, though, royals, regulars, or ground forces?
Regulars.
Ah, I met an Admiral Serrano once at an embassy due on Seychartes.
If he was 2 meters tall, with a scar from his left ear across his cheek, that was my Uncle Sabato. If she was my height, with lots of braids, it was my Aunt Vida.
Your aunt, then? Well, there's a strong family resemblance.
So I've been told.
It's unusual for regular fleet officers to have riding as a hobby.
Lady Cecilia would convert anyone. We had a wager which she won. The forfeit was that I would take instruction from her. In the process, I discovered an interest.
Ah. Do you know, years ago, when I was a small boy, I happened to see her ride, one of her professional events. It was cold and wet, I remember. Nasty blowing rain went right through whatever you wore. I had been bored, even though I rather liked horses, because I couldn't see over the grown-ups. Then everyone was saying, "Here she comes!" And someone, I never even knew the man, set me up on his shoulders, and out of the murk came this huge horse with a red-headed woman on it, and they jumped something that looked to my child's eyes to be 4 meters high and every bit that wide. Of course it wasn't, but I was impressed anyway. For a whole term I wanted to be an event rider.
Were you ever?
Oh, no. I was too young to be faithful to dreams. The next thing I wanted to do was play a very rough ball game popular at our school. And since it was available, and good horses were not, I learned to play that and liked it. Real riding came later, but by then I knew I wanted a career in the military, or possibly security forces.
I wish I'd seen her. She's shown me the cubes, of course, but now that I've ridden a real horse, I can imagine that the effect is very different if you're actually there seeing it.
Magnificent. But do you have your hunt assignment yet?
Blue. Day after tomorrow, Neil said. Tomorrow I'm to have another session over fences.
Good for you. If he scheduled you in the blue, you're doing well. Let me introduce you to some of the other blue hunt members.
He led her to a cluster of people. Harris wondered which hunt he rode with. Cecilia had explained the system, but it seemed odd. For one thing, she didn't understand why the hunt levels didn't have names taken from the books instead of colors, if they were all so interested in reproducing history.
Ah, Captain Serrano, Lady Cecilia's new friend. We've heard about you. Neil's bragging to everyone, of course. She's his pet example of what we should all aspire to, and now as a teacher as well as a rider. Is it really true that you've never mounted a live horse until today?
Not at all. But it's true, I had ridden little, many years ago, and hadn't been on a horse since I was, perhaps 23.
You'd never jumped?
No.
I told you, Steph. Lady Cecilia's simulator is legendary.
That was a red-haired woman about Harris's height who wore a gown of mossy green with wide sleeves. Harris realized why when she saw the wrist brace.
Maybe it would help me. It took me 5 seasons to work up from the Red Hunt to the Blue, and I've been stuck in Blue for 10.
Tell me, did you find real horses easy after the simulator?
Not exactly easy, but much easier than I would have without it. And after the second ride, it was almost the same. A continuation of the same training.
Cecilia appeared at her shoulder. I hate to break this up, but you've got that early lesson, and I'm off with the Greens at dawn, and there's a message from the station.
She smiled at the group around Harris, and they smiled in a way that let Harris know just how much clout Cecilia had. She was almost tempted to refuse the suggestion just to see them react, but that would be cheap. So she followed Cecilia upstairs.
Message?
Nothing much. The ones you left aboard.
The standing watch.
Whatever. Letting you know that the others arrived safely in Hospitality Bay and that the new equipment is functioning correctly so far. Did you ask for regular reports?
Of course. If they didn't report, how would I know whether things are going well?
Oh, I'd assume they were. But before you even remind me, if it were a stable and not a ship, I would be the way you are. When I was off competing, I spent incredible sums checking back with the home yard to see if they'd remembered things. And they always had.
Because you checked. I'll call back up. Anything else?
Well, yes. I hope you won't be offended.
I won't.
Harris wasn't entirely sure. On her home ground, and she treated Lord Thornbuckle's planet as her home ground, Cecilia had some of the very habits Harris had feared when she first hired on with a rich old lady.
Some of them are terrible gossips. It's not just that they'll repeat what you've said. They'll embellish it. It'll be worse because you're here as my guest. They've chewed my past to tasteless mush already, and you're something new. I know you can deal with it, but don't be surprised if you hear that we're lovers or something.
Lovers? Us?
Predictable gossip.